Today is Saturday, September 26th. Welcome to our weekend episode of The Newsworthy called Special Edition Saturday. For a second weekend in a row, the Chinese-owned social media app TikTok faces a possible ban in the U.S. starting Sunday. President Trump says the app poses a national security risk without American oversight. President Trump has said he would sign off on a deal in the works with software giant Oracle and Walmart to prevent a ban, yet the Chinese government is calling the deal dirty and unfair and may not give its blessing. At last check, it's unclear what will happen next. So today, you'll hear from two people. First, TikTok influencer James Henry. He first got on the app when it was still called Musical.ly, and now he makes most of his living because of his millions of TikTok followers. His videos have been featured on places like The Ellen DeGeneres Show, and he's collaborated with celebrities like Mariah Carey. So how does he feel about a possible ban or a deal? Then cybersecurity expert Joseph Carson helps us analyze the possible agreement and what difference, if any, it could make for data and national security. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, James. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So first, give us a brief summary of how you became a TikTok influencer and why did you choose TikTok?
Well, at first, you know, I started from Vine. You know, I've been in this game for a good 7 years now. And once Vine kind of died and didn't have, you know, that other, I guess, competing app at that time, I didn't know where to go. And it was either Instagram or YouTube or Snapchat during that time. But none of those really felt like home. I felt like Instagram was more about for people that wanted to model and do all that, you know. Musical.ly at that time was out. And most of the creators I knew in the past who are still on the platform now, they were like, this is like the next thing. This is the new thing. This is what probably will be around 4 years to come. So I hopped on Musical.ly at the time. The team kind of reached out to me and they said, you know, they really wanted me to continue to create content for them. So, you know, once if the team of the company of this huge app reaches out and says that, I think, you know, I'm going to give it a shot and then actually create more content. And yeah, it kind of took off from there. You know, the whole reason I really started, you know, creating content and videos is to be able to showcase my talents and what I'm capable of. I know and always knew that the digital realm in itself was becoming a bridge between traditional and digital. A lot more stars and the people and like talent that we have in the world right now or upcoming and new to Hollywood have come from these platforms because they've created this lane for themselves where they're allowing, you know, the world to see them for who they are, what they can do, and not to wait for someone else to tell you that you're good enough. You know, a couple of years ago, the job content creation was not even a thing. You know, you can say that and everybody would be like, do you work from home? Like, you know, do you just sit on your computer all day? No, it's a lot of work, especially when you're constantly creating content every day, original content for different platforms. And it's something, it's created a whole new sector of possibilities for the self-employed.
So you have 3.2 million followers on TikTok right now. How important is it for you to have access to those millions of people?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It's my bread and butter. You know, TikTok has become my source of income. And when I first started out, I wasn't always able to become a full-time creator to devote my to free time and my life to creating content on like a regular basis. I had to work part-time jobs, but after a while of being able to grow my audience to secure the type of content I film, the stuff I film is very skit-based and organized in a way that it's a way that it could be commercially advertised. And I think that's what is very appealing to most brands is that they can look at my page and say, okay, we can probably work in somehow to, you know, work in like a product placement or a campaign because they like the way that I shoot my content. And if I've turned it into a business where it is, you know, where I make most of my money from.
Did you lose access to your fans on Vine? What was that like? And what was your reaction when you heard about a possible ban for TikTok?
I lost about like 50,000 followers. And I was like, okay, I should have, you know, tried to push them over to other platforms because now they're all gone. But then I learned, don't put all your eggs in one basket the hard way by losing everything. So when TikTok was in the discussion of potentially being banned in the States, I was nervous. I really, you know, I didn't know how to feel. I didn't know what to do. I was like, at that point, I was like, okay, this is the time to really pick up and activate every other social media platform, not to only continue to, you know, grow and create and more of an audience on those platforms as well, but just to not relive what I should have learned not to do in the first place.
Have you joined any competitors to TikTok as a just in case?
Well, look, I think everybody makes sure that they have their, you know, name. Because once your, you know, at name is gone, you cannot get that from anybody else and they're not going to give it to you. So I was like, you know what, let me just download this app, secure my name just in case. But I don't really post on, you know, there. It's just there just in case if I were to need it.
What is the talk among you and others who also have large followings? What are you saying to each other right now?
We are scared. We are like, don't give up, guys. No. the talk is about is, you know, just keep doing what we're doing. The TikTok team is very active in communicating with us to let us know, like, everything's going to be okay. The moment I heard of this going on, I called my partner manager and I was like, hey, is this, should I be worried about this? And she was like, no, like, you're fine.
Have you had any concerns about data security or any of the concerns that have been discussed when it comes to national security?
No, I really haven't. And I know that's, you know, maybe it's just me because I'm not the son of like a judge or a lawyer or an attorney who may have access to certain rooms that where they can sort of hear conversations. Maybe. I don't know any how any of that works. But I also do understand that Facebook, Snapchat, and a couple other platforms were dealing with a lot of privacy issues as well. I think that they're, you know, they're going to handle it appropriately, and I'm hoping that they come to an agreement with the administration right now and figure it out.
Are there any particular changes to the app that you either would or would not want to see?
Whoever does end up owning part of the business, they're going to want to have their own input or have some sort of control over what the company's doing, which then could affect the way the app works or the way that people actually interact or it's your ability to be viewed and seen by other people around the country. And that is one of the huge things that has made TikTok what it is. The algorithm, you know, Instagram and YouTube, they're nothing compares to the way that anybody can go viral or can be seen.
And what is your backup plan just in case ultimately TikTok does get banned in the United States?
Well, I will be on Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat. I will be on all of the, you know, like above. But right now, I'm also in the middle of transitioning more into traditional film and television. I love acting. I love creating. I love storytelling. So that has always been where my passion has come from. And the platform that TikTok has given me is to be able to actively use that muscle. And it lets me know I can do way more than what, you know, I think I can to see that my content resonates well with others, you know, in a positive way. Gives me more motivation and I think, you know, drive to keep going.
All right, still ahead, we have our second interview with the author of Cybersecurity for Dummies ebook, why he calls a possible deal a game of whack-a-mole. But first, a quick break to thank our sponsor, CastleGrade. I've loved hearing from many of you that you're getting these reusable, sustainable, and high-quality masks for better protection as you go to work, while you travel, send kids to school, and more. CastleGrade masks are registered with the FDA as an N95, so you know you're getting that high level of protection for whatever your need. And now CastleGrade has a new filter available for smoke-affected areas of Washington, California, Oregon, and Nevada. It's been independently tested, and the company says the charcoal filters serve a dual purpose for stopping both virus and smoke particles. So you're getting a mask that is safe for both those uses, plus it's a reusable, eco-friendly option. Instead of contributing to the billions of disposable masks and N95s being thrown out at the end of each day, you can just put your CastleGrade mask in the dishwasher for easy cleaning and reuse. So check out all the options and learn more at CastleGrade.com and enter the discount code NEWS10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. That's CastleGrade.com with a new discount code NEWS10, NEWS10, at checkout for 10% off your first order. Okay, now here's my conversation with Joseph Carson. He has more than 25 years of experience in enterprise security and works as the chief security scientist at Thycotic, a global leader in IT security. He's an InfoSec Award winner and the author of Cybersecurity for Dummies. Hi, Joseph. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Many thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
I first want to remind people about why we're even talking about this. What is that initial concern surrounding TikTok?
What people don't realize is in the background, a lot of these applications, what they end up doing is they collect a lot of additional information that people are just kind of unaware of. Things like your IP address, your contact details, you know, access to your photographs, access to your camera, your microphone, access to your browsing history, that data become very sensitive if in the wrong hands.
What makes TikTok stand out? Is it that it is Chinese owned? And should that be a concern?
I think from a national security perspective, if you work in the government, if you work in a sensitive area, then yes, it would be a concern. So if you're working for maybe one of the agencies, you're working in education or intellectual property or in certain areas of health, there's certain industries that absolutely, if you are working in those industries, that using applications that collect such information are a security concern. But from a general, for the average citizen, going about their day-to-day lives, it doesn't really have a major impact to them. Now, one of the major concerns, of course, is that the company behind it, ByteDance, they have association and share information with the Chinese government. But this is not unheard of in Western countries as well. You've had major telcos and major social media companies that have also been requested to share information with the government using behind the scenes court judges and court indictments. So at the end of the day, all governments want your data in order to, let's say, whether use it for, economical advantage or political power.
If that deal were to be fully approved and go through, what do you think it would really change, if anything?
In my opinion, this is a whack-a-mole approach at a bigger problem. I don't think that the problem is security related. I don't think the problem is, about who has access to what. Ultimately, to get down to the core, it's really a data rights management issue at the core of this. And targeting, one or a few companies is not solving the bigger problem.
Some people might argue it still makes a difference to have American companies be part of the process to help oversee the operations and make sure that the data doesn't end up in the wrong hands within the Chinese government. Do you think it can help at least?
It might help do more assessment into how the data is handled. Absolutely. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what you're seeing with this kind of, let's say, TikTok global is really about basically an operator level. It's not really about, who controls the application and intellectual property and the algorithms. It's not a purchase of TikTok. It's really just basically a franchise of operating TikTok for a particular, target audience.
And to that point, would an outright sale to American companies matter?
You have to remember is that this is one directional right now. The reverse could happen. China could do the same in return, retaliation. They could force the likes of Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, whoever's on the end, they could be having to do the same in China. And China is a big market for many companies. So we have to remember that there's, in many cases, the reciprocal, countermeasures that could happen. And this is the issue is that, who will in the end be hurt?
What do you think is going to happen? What's your prediction for this deal?
I think it's misleading and confusing. I think we really need to have, somebody who's providing oversight, a much more clear oversight that basically, is providing clarity. So ultimately, because of this misleading information coming from both companies about ultimately what the deal means, I think it ultimately is going to collapse. Potentially, it might give an opportunity for Microsoft to come back in because I did see Microsoft is better suited. Because they have experience in this area. They target the consumer area. They've got a lot of experience in mobile applications and also in data centers and data regulation. Because right now, in the current messages that I'm seeing, it's a deal that looks like it's going to collapse.
What else should the average TikTok user in the U.S. know about this moving forward, about their data or about using the app?
So for the end user, I think it's really important is to become more aware. Ultimately, we have to be aware of what data has been collected and have more choice and more visibility and transparency. So for the users that's using TikTok, I think it's really important to go in and look at the settings, go in and make informed decisions about understanding about what it has access to on your device. And limit those. Don't enable everything by default. go in and selectively choose whether it should have your location information, whether it should have access to your contacts or your photos or your health data. You really kind of understand about and get more aware and disabling the things that you don't want them to have access to. You know, what could potentially go wrong if that data gets in the, you know, the hands of the wrong person, whether it being something like financial fraud, getting access to your device, whether it being identity theft, and all of those that can have really damaging impact to the end user who becomes a victim of something like cybercrime.
And in case you missed it, you can hear perspectives from two other cybersecurity experts about whether TikTok is really a threat in an earlier special edition Saturday episode that aired on August 8th. You can find that in our podcast feed right in your app or on our website, thenewsworthy.com. And as always, we'll keep you updated on what happens next with this possible TikTok deal and all the other news you need to know during our regular episodes Monday through Friday when we provide the day's news in about 10 minutes. Thanks again for joining us. I'll be back on Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.